Hi, this is Chris.
This is Becky.
This is Aaron.
And we're from Stranger's Almanac, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 49. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Shane, we are one episode away from 50, and it's snowing, so we're going to stay here. We have a Stranger's Almanac here with us, Chris, Becky, and Aaron, so we're going to stay here tonight. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah. Because
of the horrible snow.
I'm out.
I'm out, sorry. Not going to happen. I don't know. I hope it's not going to snow too bad. Is it supposed to be like bad?
I don't think so.
Sweet. But we'll freak out anyway, like it's supposed to be.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us over here and hanging out with us. Appreciate just welcoming us in. So, how are you guys doing?
I'm okay.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Doing great.
Yeah. Aaron's got the sweet drum thing he's gonna do in the background. We're gonna do some poetry reading later, so it's just halfway through the podcast to do poetry. I'm looking forward to it. So we've all had to I don't know anything about poetry, so I can't even go anywhere with it. I try. So you guys got a show February 28th. at Dog Prairie in St. Paul, Missouri. But let's go ahead and just kind of talk about the band a little bit and how you guys got started. And it's kind of a, you said a bit of a cover band, but also you guys do some original stuff as well. Is that
correct? Yeah, there's there's just multiple facets of it. But first off, there are three band members that are not here. Ryan Thornburg plays guitar in Stranger's Almanac. Josh White, he's not here. He plays guitar and harmonica and a little mandolin. And Mark Eveland is our bass player. And they were unable to be here tonight. God rest their souls.
Yeah.
Stuck
in a blizzard.
Yeah. Stuck in a...
But, yeah, so, yeah, we're playing Dog Prairie on the 28th of February. It would be our favorite place to play.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
So what kind of like covers and stuff do you, because just listening, you play a cover and we'll play it basically to start the show, but what songs do you play? Cause, like, hearing your voice, and the first thing that came to my head, and if nobody said this before, I apologize, but like, I could hear you covering like some REM songs. Has anybody ever said that to me?
No.
And maybe it's just me, but that's just, I heard your voice and it made me think of a
well,
REM,
I've heard worse things, I think.
So right now, go into It's the End of the World as We Know It, if you don't mind. Just
okay, yeah. I know the chords, so you're going to have to sing. I know the Leonard Bernstein part.
I was just curious, because that's what was in my head, but what kind of stuff do you guys play?
It's a little bit of everything for everyone.
Yeah, and I think initially... we kind of, Aaron and I and Ryan Thornburg and Mark kind of came out of the cover band Salt Vision. We played in St. Louis some years back. And when the band dissolved, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And we ran into longtime friend Josh White, and Aaron and Josh and I just would hang out right here in the living room and play songs we liked.
Yeah.
And we really didn't have much in mind as far as pleasing a crowd, maybe.
We didn't care.
Just to play. I mean, play what you guys like.
Right. Yeah. It's just kind of we played whatever we wanted to play. And long story short, when we kind of got thrown into doing some shows, maybe a little bit prematurely, we were sort of a little bit surprised by the lackluster response, because when people come to the bar, they're like, man, we didn't know one song that band played, you know.
We were having a blast.
We knew them all, and they were all songs that we would like to hear if we went to a bar, but long story short, so we had to sort of become a little bit more crowd friendly, but the goal has been to not play ringers, to mix it up a little bit.
And I think that's a hard thing for us because we always have these debates back and forth, like, we need to come up with a new song. So, what have you got? So everyone will throw out ideas, and we're all so picky. You know, Chris will text me, like, a couple of different songs, I'm like, no, hate that. Nope.
And then Becky will text me back, and I'll be like, there's two people on the planet that know that song. Yeah. And they're not even in this part of the world. You know? So, we cover everything. Well, we played the opening song, I guess you'll hear it, because that'll play first, but...
Yeah.
That's a Bob Dylan song that the Byrds made famous. We play...
Wilco.
We play Oasis. We play Lenny Kravitz.
Gnarls Barkley.
We...
Band of Horses.
Yeah.
Joy Formidable.
I'm going to let you talk.
I'm
trying to think of them. You get them out faster than
the...
I can. No, you keep going. We cover the Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, which Becky knocks out quite well.
Pretty big variety already there. Like,
right.
Yeah. White Stripes. I don't know if I already said that.
No.
Pink Floyd.
That's a fun one.
That is a fun one. But yeah, we try to mix it up and entertain ourselves and the crowd at the same time, because I feel like maybe we're not so mainstream when we are listening to music and buying music, and people people who come to the bar to hear original bands, or if you're coming to hear a cover band, you want to hear songs that you're familiar with.
Right.
And that's been a struggle for us. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I got a couple friends that, and then like talking to them about playing like bar gigs and doing covers, and like they, you know, they play like a lot of country music, but they hate modern country or what it's become. But they play enough to where like they can keep the crowd, but then they'll sprinkle in the stuff that they really like. And then like try to, and people are like, well, that, you know, is that original? Because they hadn't heard it, but it's like, you know, they play it like it's their own and people really respond to it, even though it's, you know, whatever, you know, Jason Isbell or whoever, you know, these other guys that are out there doing their thing, they're just not really known on the radio yet.
Sure.
So it's kind of, that's kind of the fun way to keep it entertaining for yourselves as artists also to, you know, do what you want to do, but trying to also please the crowd, like kind of mixing that
50-50. Sure.
So I guess you kind of touched on it a little bit, but do you guys all have different, I guess, not necessarily influences, but styles of music you guys enjoy, or do you guys actually kind of find that you have a similar kind of a...
I think it seems to be pretty similar, but I think it's what we are trying to figure out, like, what will the crowd like and what will we like?
Yeah.
I think that's been the biggest obstacle
can,
for us.
Yeah, and that, not to come off snobby at all, but that's, it's, you know, we don't want to play Brown Eyed Girl, and we want it.
Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, stuff like that. What are we not going to be bored out of our minds playing that the crowd is going to like? And it's like we mentioned earlier, it's a fine line. There's a lot of bouncing back and forth, and like, nope. Yeah. And
months.
You know,
goes on for months.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
We finally come up with a couple of songs, and it's taken a while, but
yeah, but.
I think part of what the benefit of doing that, though, is that when we're really enjoying what we're playing, that comes across
to
the audience, and so we don't look or sound bored,
right? Yeah,
when
exactly.
we're up there, you know, because I mean we're legitimately enjoying our song list, and you know I don't think that we've ever got a bad response from a crowd either. Even if they don't know what it is, they'll come up afterwards and say, what was it?
Right.
I've never heard that before, but it was really cool, you know.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of people that seem to enjoy the mix, as unusual as it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we like finding things that have a lot of harmonies, because I think that's something that I'd like to think that we're pretty good at.
Yeah,
finding those harmonies.
I was digging the harmony
on
there.
So it's always just trying to find something that we can all participate in.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. To speak to what Aaron just said, the song that came to mind was Lazy Eye by Silver Sun Pickups.
Yeah.
That's one that we play, and a lot of times the crowd won't know what it is, but they always seem to like it quite a bit, and they'll ask, who was that? And then you'll get that random guy in the bar that knows who it is, and he's like, woo! You know, like, I can't believe you guys play that.
Yeah.
He's the guy, the only guy on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Everybody else is scared.
You're in my head, do you guys play both acoustic and electric, or do you play mostly electric stuff on shows? Or
we I think our first set has been more acoustic. Again, we started out playing in this living room, and it was just on acoustics, and then as the band sort of evolved, I think initially my thoughts were we'll keep it quieter earlier in the evening, and more of the electric stuff wound up near halfway through the second set and all the way through the third, and I think we've sort of been weeding out some of the songs that are kind of sleepy, maybe is the best word for them, and they wind up being the acoustic songs for the most part. So now we're
but those are my favorites.
I know. We kind of do
hurts.
some side acoustic stuff as well, where it might just be a two or three piece acoustic, and but yeah, now it's probably going to be. I'm gonna for the 28th show. I'm gonna try to mix it up a little bit better, but it'll probably be a little bit quieter early in the evening, and then we're pretty much. 2/3 rocking now, and probably 1/3 acoustic, I would say.
Right, I agree.
But, you know, even the acoustic songs, some of them are pretty upbeat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hope that answers
How about how long are you guys' sets when you play? About how long?
an hour and 10 minutes, maybe. Okay. Hour and 5 minutes, somewhere in that.
Gotcha.
We'll play for 4 hours and take 2 20-minute breaks.
Yeah, that's probably about 55 minutes, but then
you
always gotta break something and then try to fix it.
So, well, there's a lot of mindless bantering that goes on too. Sometimes Becky's looking at me going, start the song. And I'm up there having a good time. And
joke
like,
telling.
Hold on a second, I'm funny.
Yeah. You just keep hearing.
Yes.
Like trying to lead into the song.
Yeah.
And so then. Kicks off and
that,
shows
that has happened, I think.
So do you guys like kind of have an idea of, in terms of vocals, like ranges? So when you come up with song ideas, are you able to kind of say, well, I know they may be able to hit this note or be able to cover? Because, I mean, there's some songs like that are just. The vocals are just incredible, and there's very few people who can actually even cover it. Are you guys aware of kind of everybody's...
I think so. I think... I mean, even with the Lazy Eye song, I think we'd started out... I was going to do it, and then we found out Becky cannot sing that song. It just doesn't work. It was too low. I couldn't... Yeah, there are just notes that I can't hit that maybe someone else can, or vice versa.
Yeah, at this point, I think... it's usually, I would say most of the time, the band member who's going to be singing a song that is picking the song, and odds are they've been driving around listening to it,
right,
and singing along with it. Every now and then, like I've thrown out a couple that, you know, maybe started with Josh and wound up with Becky or vice versa. You know, Becky's going to hit the notes, you know, higher than anybody else, so... they're like Have a Cigar by Pink Floyd, you know, he's singing way up there, and that was just, you know, it just kind of, Becky's singing that, it's not really an option
For
anybody else to do it. And then as far as, I sing probably 7 or 8 of them, but most of the newer songs that have come in have been Josh or Becky taking the lead, and on a lot of songs they're, you know, dual vocals and harmonies going the whole time. There is some of that. It's usually, though, it's pretty obvious who's going to be singing it, and again, the heck, Aaron even sings. He plays drums in the band Common Ground. They're a really excellent cover band. They play all over St. Charles County, and Aaron does some singing, believe it or not. Aaron sings Purple Rain by Prince.
And he does an amazing
job. And he does a great job.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think there's a lot of good ability in the band, and I think there's a lot of diversity. So it's, at this point, though, it's usually we're trying to pick songs for Josh or Becky. You know, they're probably, I would say, the strongest vocalists in the group, if you were to ask me. So.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that makes sense, too, with in terms of, like, cover bands, you know, because unless you're just, like, a single band cover band, you almost need multiple singers because of the variety of the songs you play. Because,
sure.
And, you know, so the more, I guess, vocal talent you have, the better and more variety you're going to be able to contribute. And I guess that makes sense that if somebody comes to you saying, hey, let's try this song, they've probably been, like you said, rehearsing it in their car over and over again because they know they could possibly do it. So
sure.
What's interesting about this too is that Becky, probably half of the songs that she sings are male sang songs.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting take on a song that you're used to having, you know, a male vocal line, and then it's being sung by a woman, and it's got a really neat and different texture to it, but.
Sure.
You know, you find out that that's just right in her vocal range sweet spot. So it gives a neat versatility to the vocals that some bands. I mean, I don't see a lot of bands where the female vocalists are singing male songs very often. So
right.
I like it a lot, and I think it's pretty pretty cool aspect of the band.
Yeah.
You know.
But the other thing I'd say too is, you know. If Becky is singing the lead vocal, both Aaron and Josh are very good at picking out harmonies, and you know, they might both start off with the same harmony, and the one will go, "Oh, you're singing that one, I'll sing this one," and the other one will be like, "Well, I could sing this one if you want to sing that one," you know, and it's
and they can nail it,
and they nail it pretty easy. They've got really good ears. If I'm singing harmony, it's because I've been practicing it in my car over and over, but those two definitely have a knack for it. I forgot what the question was. So
I'm just curious because, like, it's interesting hearing, you know, because we've talked to a lot of bands who do a lot of original stuff, and, you know, there's kind of a different process, but with a cover band, I almost think there's more pressure because there's a certain, you have to, I mean, you can't play a song and only kind of go halfway on it, you know, you want to really nail it, and I think it puts a lot more pressure on a cover band or you guys to actually come through and make sure that you guys are nailing all aspects as best possible. Like you said, when, you know, you sing a female part is singing a male part, it does give it a different versatility or dynamic to it, which I think can sometimes almost sound better, too. I mean, I've heard versions of songs that come out different ways, and you're like, wow, that's almost better than the original.
Right, right.
And it, sometimes it can, like, almost take on a whole new meaning, you know, that you totally interpret the lyrics a different way when you hear a sing by a female and then a male, and so it's...
Well, she even tricks out the Outfield song we do instead of Josie's on a vacation far away.
It's Joey.
Joey's on a vacation far away. So
Joey.
That goes out to you, Joey.
You ever there's maybe last season on SNL, but they did a Josie.
I saw that. Yeah, where he stopped like after every verse.
Yeah, it was like they took the dialogue, like, or they took the lyrics of the song, and it became like dialogue, and like the guy like knocks on the door, and the girl answers, and he asks, "Is Josie home?" And then, you know, Josie.
Did they play the song?
I like my girls a little bit older.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. It's like he's trying to get to the sister, and
right.
That's what he's like, and that's she's like a senior or whatever it was, and like that's what. So yeah, like the girl's a little older, and like it's really one of my favorite bits they did in a while. But yeah, it's so if you haven't seen that one, check it out. It's like young guy. I think he's from. Hunger Games. I can't think of his name now, but anyway, he was the host, and Taron Killam and Kenan Thompson were like the band, and they come through like the windows with keyboards and stuff.
Yeah,
and, perfect. It was really
funny.
Good. So,
then they break out in full '80s dancing at the end.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's
pretty awesome.
So anyway, speaking of SNL, I saw the cowbell.
We always try to have more cowbell in everything that we do.
Yeah, you guys don't even understand the full effect of it. Downstairs, there is the world's largest cowbell, which a friend of ours made for Aaron. It is...
Well, it's probably about 89 pounds.
Yeah.
And,
it is...
Probably close to 5 foot tall.
5 foot tall, and it's... powder coated, it's sparkling red.
It's very pretty.
And when you hit it, it sounds like a gong.
Do you have to hit it like a baseball bat?
Or your head, one or the other.
Or your head, one or the two.
Now that we've been talking about it, we may have to bring it along for the show.
Yeah.
It was hilarious at first, and then it's like, you know, you don't really have much of a place to put in a giant cowbell that sounds like a gong.
All around.
Yeah, so you just hear this gong. Right. Sound every now and then you look back and Aaron's smiling. So
that would just be the best though, like if you could actually mount it on your drum kit, like
it would cost the whole drum kit to fall
over.
About 500 pounds
weight
on the back side.
This would be funny, like you're sitting there playing, like you don't even acknowledge it, like everybody's just like, that is the biggest thing. I'm like,
randomly hitting the cowbell.
Yeah.
Honk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They know, and they gotta wonder what song's gonna come in, because they know it's gotta be there for a reason.
Right.
You're just gonna get a cowbell solo. Everything stops and you just wail on the cowbell for a while.
It wouldn't be the strangest thing that happened in one of our shows.
Yeah. 2 hour long cowbell solo.
Yeah.
It's very different, we haven't heard it before.
We were a little short on song, so we had Aaron do it. Cowbell
loses your voice.
And interpretive dance.
Yeah, and interpretive dance. You might let
done that. And done.
The high flying was really cool, but they've done a lot of well.
I got a fever.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Did you guys catch that 40th anniversary?
We did.
What'd you think?
I saw parts of it.
Yeah.
Parts of it were really good, and parts of it, it's bathroom break time. I gotta go change out the laundry.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a huge SNL fan. I've been watching for a long time, and I went back and I watched a lot of the old stuff, and I love all that, and I liked having everybody there, but like, yeah, I kind of expected more, being that it was like so many great comics all in one room, but some of the stuff kind of fell flat, but they did a Celebrity Jeopardy one that I thought was really good.
Did you feel like some of them kind of dragged on? Like, the Californians?
Yeah. That one was kind of rough. I mean, it's kind of it's funny, but like, yeah, it's like too long, and yeah. Like, and that was kind of funny too. Like at the end of that one, though, like how they had Spade come in, like, oh, you know, bye bye.
Yeah, let's goodbye. Go. Yeah.
So that was it was fun. It was cool to see everybody like that. Some of them were looking pretty rough though. Like,
sure.
Yeah. The Chevy Chase didn't look very good.
Oh, no, he didn't look good last time I saw him.
Yeah. No.
I think they're making a sequel to Christmas Vacation, too.
Oh, yeah?
Or whatever National Lampoon's with Chevy Chase in it, and that's going to be really, really odd. But
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. You can't. I feel like you can't do it with him looking, unless he looks exactly
looking
like
a
did.
Grandpa.
Yeah, like,
know?
It's really, really odd. But I think the overall consensus for the 40th thing, it seemed like either they tried to do too much,
yeah.
Or they just had so much. I mean, 40 years is a long time to try and fit some of the biggest sketches, and I saw the Wayne's World one, which I thought
was pretty
good. I enjoyed that one, but like, it just seemed like some you're just like they're trying to force like what was funny then and like trying to re-spark that. But
I liked Bill Murray doing the love
the Jaws
theme from Jaws.
Yeah.
that was pretty good. But yeah, they I don't know. It was still fun, but yeah, it's just like I guess you kind of envision. I just kind of wanted to be perfect, and it just kind of, for me, it didn't quite meet my expectation, but it was still cool.
Yep.
It's worth it. So when you guys are doing, say, you know, we kind of talked about, like, in terms of coming up with songs, but when you guys are learning them, is it an individual process for each one? I mean, obviously you got to learn the part, but, like, do you guys kind of come together and all just learn it together, or do you, I know, like, when I play guitar, it was learning tabs, like, going on the internet and find tabs, or can you read music? You know, how do you go about learning a new song that you're...
Well, we started out, everybody would get together and listen to it and try to hack through it, you know. And
we'd sit
like,
here in the living room and do it,
you know, and then, you know, the more instruments we added, that got a little more difficult, you know. And so
the songs became more complex, too.
Right.
You know, like...
And I think now it seems like everybody...
Kind of shows up
with having a little more leg work done outside,
right?
You know, so that we're not wasting rehearsal time, you know.
Yeah.
Our phrase is "learn the damn song."
Right. Right.
If somebody screws
learn
it up
the
in the middle of the song, you hear like "learn the damn song."
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's I highly encourage practice outside of practice. It doesn't always happen, and that goes for me as well. But yeah, it's very much more productive.
Our band practices. Back in the day, I used to run for five to 7 hours until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Like, you know, now we kind of...
It's like 2 hours.
We kind of try to get in and out a couple hours because we all have other things going on.
It's usually me. I'm like, I'm really tired, guys. It's like 9 o'clock. It's past my bedtime. Can
yeah,
I go home now?
It is funny, too, because like band practice...
Yeah.
I mean, this is old Salt Vision days, but yeah, it would start at 9 o'clock and be over at like 3 a.m. I don't know how we ever survived that. yeah, and it was more of a party than band practice. But yeah, it's really we're adding "Simply Irresistible" by Robert Palmer. We thought it would be a good bar song that people. I've not heard a band cover it. I'm sure they do out there, but thought, oh, that's a good idea. And we actually ran through it last week as a band for the first time, and. It was a little squirrely the first time through, but the third time through, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that would have been quite the ordeal to hack through had people not learned their parts. Again, I think the complexity of the song kind of made it necessary for people to, again, practice outside of practice. So when you come in, you...
Don't want to be that one guy.
You don't want to be that one guy.
Don't
want to
be the one.
There's a little peer pressure involved, that's for sure. But,
no, it's mostly just yelling.
Yeah.
Yelling like a dunce cap.
We always
threaten
the bar of soap and a sock.
Right.
Beating. That's been done.
You learned pretty quick.
You know what we mean, Josh.
Suddenly they know the song real quick next week. Huh? How'd that happen?
Are there any songs that you guys are just, I wouldn't say like hate, but like tired, like you've played so many times that when you play, you're just like, are they all just because you enjoy them? They're really cool, but
part of why we have our song
songs,
list
yeah.
that we do now is because we didn't want to have
that.
Do
I would,
those
I, would
much.
Yeah.
I would like debate with Chris during a Dog Prairie show or something, and there would be a song like "Rehab" by Amy Winehouse, and I'm like, can we just skip this song tonight, please? I don't want to do this song tonight. Like,
no.
Can we just no? We're gonna do the song. The song's on the list. We're gonna do the song. Like, but I really don't want to. I don't want to do this song. I don't feel like doing it. I don't think I know the lyrics. You know, I come up with 20 excuses.
I was saying, then you just start the song. You're like, well, it's already.
As we've added songs, we've like I said, we pulled out some of the ones that were kind of more dead weight, but now
they were good. But they just weren't those peppy, lively songs that everybody.
Right. One of the prime examples I can think of is Fake Plastic Trees, Radiohead. When we were all sitting around here playing in the living room, it was great, and we played it out a few times acoustic, and it really came across good. But after a little while, I kind of got burnt out because it just seemed like it would get thrown out there and people run off the dance floor and, you know.
It's kind of a buzzkill.
It was a buzzkill. Yeah. And then, of course, Mark, our bass player, joined the band not that long ago, and he's like, you guys really aren't going to play that song anymore, are you? And we kind of put an end to it. So it may get broken out at some point, but we're at the point where we have enough variety. Again, when we started out a few years ago, it was just trying to fill space.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we got to play for 4 hours? What?
Yeah. Right.
And we have 20 songs, yeah. You know? And it would be like, Aaron, get the cowbell.
This is the remix of the second time we played it, but
right.
Mixed in.
Yeah, that... Yeah, and there was that one night where the PA went down for about an hour, and I think that worked for our favor.
That was good for us.
We didn't really have to worry about filling time after that,
that
you know?
Show.
Yeah, that was it.
That show was like the train wreck of.
Oh, yeah, but it was
train
a good
wrecks.
It was
a good, fun.
It was a good time. It was a good time. You have a few beers and you don't really care.
Was that the one where I thought we sounded great? I was like, that was awesome!
Best show ever!
This is the best story!
We were playing
Vicky, the Eternal Optimist.
Great! It was so much fun!
It was The Middle by Jimmy Eat World, and I'm playing lead on it, and I butchered it.
It may have been the first time we played it.
It may have been. We had a different bass player at the time. My wife, Mandy, was playing bass with us, and like that whole night before the song, I'm like, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. There was no other guitarist in the band at the time, and I'm like, if you mess up, everything's gonna go awry, and she totally messed up, and so I totally messed up the lead, and I'm looking at her going, what are you doing? And it sounds like, you know, the lead, and we come out of the lead, and we wrap the song up, and Becky looks at us and goes, man, I kicked ass, you know, and it was the biggest train wreck ever, but like Becky.
Just yells to play it again. Let's do it one more time.
Becky loved it, and I was just like,
I'm like, everybody was dancing. Did you see that? Like, they loved us.
Becky's a big rhythm girl. I was just back there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like,
that was great.
If she didn't notice it, I don't know that anybody else noticed it. And that actually happens a lot. I'll watch cover bands play, and I'll be like, man, did they derail? But nobody hears it, you know, unless they really, really derail.
Yeah.
I kind of think that maybe that works for us sometimes as well. Now we're
now
a little bit better.
Now I can pick up on it. I'm like, Becky, you screwed up.
Yeah, she does that now. I miss the old days when you had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, we straight haggle each other on stage about it. So it's not an issue. If somebody makes a mistake, we're the first ones to point
everybody
it out.
Everybody turns around and looks at him and be like, what are you doing?
And then we always have that plan B, which is, you know, if a song is really getting bad, we can always just throw up the... Everybody improv at once. Everybody solo at once.
Every
signal.
Solo
and then everybody's just like,
yeah.
Then we just act like we meant to do that.
Yeah, right. That's what. Yeah. And I mean, it seems like you guys don't take yourself too seriously in the sense of, you know, if something goes, you know, it's you guys, as long as you're having a good time. And I mean, obviously, you don't want to get up there and just like embarrass yourselves, but you guys sound like you put in a ton of work to know what you're doing. And if something goes awry, you guys can either play off it or just, you know, it happens, you know, just like with every, you know,
What can you do?
Right. Just, we're a pretty lively, fun bunch. I did find personally, if I don't start drinking at 3 p.m. when I'm setting equipment up and we're not playing till 9, that I do a lot better. there were a few third sets where I'm like, man, that sounded great. And Becky's like, no, it didn't.
You played a totally different song than
what
we
were
playing.
Sounded so good
together.
Yeah. So, that doesn't help our cause at all. So we try to chill out on that a little bit. There's been a few fun nights out there where fights break out in the middle of third set, and you know, there's people getting thrown around, and
people want to come up and grab the microphone, or they have odd requests, and
yeah,
can you play? I don't even like. country music songs. I don't even know who any of these people are.
Yeah, well, we don't really play much country.
Well, we do play a country song, but
we play Johnny Cash.
And a Ryan Adams song is qualifies as a country song, even though it's
yeah, if you want to call it that.
Not a country
alternative
artist.
Country, I guess.
Sure.
It's crossover.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Barton Hollow, we play Barton Hollow by the Civil Wars. That kind of comes off as a little bit country-ish.
Yeah.
So I just don't think there's any country music fans in the band, and we get asked quite a bit. We'll play some country, and we'll break out our Johnny Cash. And
right,
just
that usually makes them happy.
Yeah, they're good.
And they come up and they want another banjo. One.
Yeah.
Lowly.
Can you say some country?
Going
in
a totally different direction.
All bluegrass all night of country. Yeah.
It's going to be the song from Deliverance for like the next the whole set.
The entire third set. Yeah,
yeah, right.
That's the thing with country. Like, I mean, a lot of people, like you said, there's this preconceived thing of what country is, and like country now it's just like, I mean, it's a blender of music. I mean, there's, you got pretty much like Jason Aldean, who's like a rock band with a twang bringing on, and you got like, but then you got Jimmy Buffett, he's country now, and like stuff like that. It's like everybody's kind of, if you don't have your like rock or rap, you're pretty much country almost, like if you, it's, that's about how it is almost, like,
yeah.
Sure. And again, I don't dislike country.
I do.
the modern country I dislike, but if you pick the right country and then, you know, it'll get probably qualified as alt country or whatever, but you know, the old 97s and Whiskey Town and Ryan Adams and stuff like that. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Dwight Yoakam, I think he's great too. It's just not.
It's the new country today that I don't like.
Yeah, it's kind of
WIL stuff. Like, no.
Yeah, but
yeah,
to each their own.
Yeah, well, it seems like now, and I don't listen to at least the radio as much as I used to. I mean, like when I was in college, it was a lot more into music. But now, I don't know if it just as I'm getting older, I just don't care as much. But yeah, it just seems like everything's so commercialized and overproduced. And maybe it's always been that way. You know, I've always been a fan of like the '90s. But it just, I don't know, something about music today where it just seems like it's so manufactured and over the top that it has to be this certain way, and there's no really room for creativity. And now, again, that could not be the case, but I just, maybe that's why I can't get it.
No, I totally agree. I think what you're hearing, like you said, on the radio, that's what you're hearing on the radio is what I would say in most cases is overproduced.
Yeah, well, there was a
junk.
There was a thing on there was a YouTube video, and the guy, it probably took quite a bit of time, but it's pretty good, where he took like six modern country songs, like Lake Shelton and Florida Georgia Line, and
overlapped them,
and
they all talk about the same thing.
Yeah, they're all, like, he cut.
Yeah, the sun goes down, and
he cut,
you know, drinking beer.
Yeah, he would put, you know, like random parts of each one, and like it sounded like one cohesive song.
Yeah,
because they all six have like the same pretty much structure and talk about the same subject matter and everything else. So it's like, it's kind of crazy how you can cut and paste six different songs on the radio and make it sound like one song,
right?
Yeah. And so that goes back to what Chris is saying.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think there's a ton of good new music out there, but you're not going to hear it on you know, on commercial radio in your car.
Yeah.
I've got Sirius XM. I do like Alt Nation quite a bit, but most of what we're listening to, it's just
it's all kinds of stuff.
It's finding it. It's
and we'll even bring it to band and play it for each other. Like, oh, did you hear this song? Or have you seen this video? Or Chris will email me songs or text me like, hey, you need to check this band out. Or what's the latest one that I sent you that?
Chadwick Stokes. And I just ordered his disc, and I don't know where the guy came from. He's from New England, but Sam Beam from Iron and Wine produced his new album that's coming out. It's called Horse Comanche, and I've heard two or three songs off it, and I love it. But again, where did that come from? She happened to hear it on NPR.
Yeah. Jeremy sent it to me, yeah, and then I sent it to
and
you.
And then you start, you're like, oh, wow, it's Everybody's produced by Sam Beam, and we like Iron and Wine quite a bit. And I feel like mainstream music is not worth my time listening to, but if you get slightly out of that box, I think there's a lot of current music that's really good. You just gotta, again, you gotta go seek it out.
Go find it. Yeah.
I know a lot of people. You know, we're in our 30s and early 40s, and a lot of people, my friends, they hung it up in the 90s or whatever, and yeah. said, you know, this is as good as it gets. Yeah, right. You know, and music was never good after, you know,
after Poison.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call that. They'll live to or die. Okay.
I don't have any friends that gave up at Poison. But yeah, the you know, just like, hey, you know, there hasn't been any good new music in 10 years, and I totally disagree. I think there's a ton of great new stuff.
For sure. Yeah. I say it a lot, like even on this show, you know, there's if you like bands like even Led Zeppelin or whatever, like there's bands, new bands, like young guys making that 70s classic rock sound. There's guys like Rival Sons that I like a lot that are really making a name for themselves, and they're kind of that classic rock thing going. Or Tyler Bryan and the Shakedowns, another one I really like. But they're never going to get played on the radio because they have that, but they're doing it all by touring and working their butts off on the road. But like I said, for whatever genre of music you like, there's still people out there that love that music too, that are making new music that's original, that kind of sounds like it would fit in that 90s or 70s or whatever era you like. But yeah, you just have to go out and find it. And that's what I think is cool about Pandora. Like, I've discovered a lot of really neat stuff through there. Some of that algorithm they have, and it really kicks up a bunch of good stuff that I've never heard before. And then I go look them up, and they're only like maybe 1,000 fans on Facebook or something like that. So you know that like they're probably local guys that are doing something and like are on the way up. And it's fun to kind of discover these bands that I'm obviously would never heard of on the radio or other things. But it's fun to.
Yeah.
You find them on Pandora, and you go look them up online, and
sure, become a fan. Pull them up on YouTube or something, and over in the right hand panel, you're like, "Oh, here's a band that they're recommending." And you click on that, and you never heard of those guys, and you're like, "Wow, they're good too."
Yeah,
that's probably how we find half of what we're listening to, if not more.
Yeah,
some of it just takes a chance. People are too. I think it seems like there's a lot of people out there that are just waiting for radio to tell them it's cool to listen to, and it's like and afraid to make their own judgment on stuff. And I listen to a lot of music. I mean, some of it I don't like, but I always take a chance and taking a new record that I've never heard and giving it a listen. And you know, maybe it might be the next band I love. So that's, you never know.
Sure, that's a great way to look at it. Yeah.
If you
take
those,
you're not listening.
Go ahead.
Sorry, don't give it a chance. Yeah.
If you take those people that are waiting to be fed what's on current radio, and you force them to listen to some of the other stuff that you're listening to, it doesn't really sound all that different. Some of it, doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just not being played on the radio at this moment.
Right.
But they hear it 4 or 5 times, and they're like, man, that's a good song. How'd you find that? You know, well, it popped up in the sidebar on that other song that you're listening to. You just never clicked on it. You know, it's that type of thing. So,
yeah, it's really crazy how technology has gotten to where, like, they can connect bands through, like you said, algorithms and things like that. Yeah. Just like, that's how I found, and I can't remember if it was, it was like MySpace or something back, like I said, in college is when I was really into like trying to find new music and things like that. I don't know if I'm probably just lazy now. Like, I think that's what it is. Like, I've gotten older, I just feel like I'm lazy. I just
having 2 kids will do that too.
Yeah, well, now it's just kids' music that I listen to in the car all the time. But like, I've tried to use like Spotify to try and find music.
Yeah,
but
they're really good about that.
Like, it's just, I don't know what it is, but if it's not Third Eye Blind, I'm not going to listen to it, and that's all there is.
Right.
No, I don't know. It's just, I just feel like I don't have it. Maybe it's just I don't have a passion for that music anymore like I used to in terms of finding music, but it is nice to have such an outlet. Burn the background every time I hear it. It's just nice to have an outlet to where you can find all these technologies. Yeah, I know. They're in the window here whistling in. I just wish they'd show a little respect and realize that we're people and not pieces of meat.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chris.
Just all I'm saying, I don't even remember. But I don't know, just technology, I'm such a fan of, but I think I'm just lazy. Trying to find new music.
Speaking of, you're talking about having kids and 90s music. I don't know why I thought of that, but we got we're looking to put out some original music, and so I got a catalog from discmakers.com in case we want to have discs made and stuff like that. And so I'm flipping through, and I see that, you know, they got people that have bought through Discmakers, and there's this guy. I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. That's Chris somebody. I'm like, man, he looks familiar. Casper Baby Pants is the guy's name. And he was the lead singer of Presidents of the United States of America. Really? Oh, and he's put out like 9 kids albums.
Wow.
And I looked him up, and some of it's terribly entertaining.
He's playing like a killing on it.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. But yeah, I pulled up a few of his songs. So you ought to check him out for your kids, Casper Baby Pants. And I pulled up 3 or 4 of them, and I was like, this sounds good.
Well, let's like, we watch Yo Gabba Gabba, and it's the guy from the Aquabats is the one who created it, because he was, I guess, he didn't feel like there's a lot of kid shows with like music. Kind of intensive type thing. So, I mean, it's really interesting because it's a kid show on Nick Jr., but you'll see Weezer and Sean Kingston and all these guys that you're like, they have no way or reason they should be on the show, but they're singing like these kids' songs. And it's just, it's, I love it because it gets my son like interested and like he'll sing these songs and stuff, but like it's really weird because I'm just like, these guys, you know, I see them in such a different way than what they were. And now they're singing for my kid, but yeah, it seems like a lot of 90s artists like made a really good living writing songs for other other artists. And
you guys ever see Jim Brewer do stand-up at all?
I don't think so.
He's got, it's one of my favorite bits because he's so good at the impressions, but he does like, he talked about having kids and like how he wished that the bands that he loved made children's music so he could listen to, you know, his bands and that the kids could enjoy the kids' songs. So it was kind of, he started mashing it up a little bit, and it was like Ozzy Osbourne doing like London Bridges, and Metallica doing Bingo.
Bingo was his name-o.
And then it was AC/DC doing the Hokey Pokey, and that's like, that's my favorite one, because he goes like full out on that one, and he's so good at doing Brian Johnson, and he's doing the voice, and but it's funny, because like, it started like as that joke, but I think like there was real recordings of those, like not particularly that one, but like I know some of those rock bands have done like kid songs and stuff like that, like kind of like you said, Weezer and stuff, some of that. But it's just kind of funny how he had this idea, and now it's like other people probably like, yeah, let's do it. And like,
it's, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I guess now's a good time to tell you about our kids' songs.
We'll be doing birthday parties.
We're
going to
keep that under wraps, but
since you led right into it.
Right.
So I guess we'll talk about that now. How many variations of Mary Had a Little Lamb? That's crazy. So I guess, is there any songs, like, do you guys have a limit of, not limit, but like a time frame, you know, talk about current music where, because it seems like you have to, in a sense, play a song that's a lot of people are going to know. I mean, you want to play what you enjoy, but is there kind of a cutoff of like when, how new a song can be before you play it? I guess if it's popular, people are going to know it.
No, we just added Fat Bottom Girls by Queen.
Oh.
And yeah, that one we probably played maybe once or twice out, and people just flood the dance floor. I don't remember who came up with that idea to do it, but no, it's not really any particular time frame. I would say we try to keep it more newer than older. We play, what's the Beatles song we do?
Close Your Eyes and I'll Kiss You.
Yeah, I can't. I'll think of it later on. I won't drag the
All My Lovin'.
Yeah, we play that one. That one goes over really well. It's just no. So there's no.
Yeah, Johnny Cash all the way to like the Grace Potter song would be added. And
yeah, I mean we're playing. We're not playing anything. We're not a band that's playing stuff that's coming out last week or anything like that. But you know, everything from 2 or 3 years old all the way back to the Beatles, and I don't know. I don't know, as long as we continue to play that's really going to change. It's just going to be what we just added a Black Crowes song. We just added Blister in the Sun. It's just what we think that the crowd will like. That, and sometimes some songs may flop. You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably give them a 2 or 3 good tries out. But yeah, if they're flopping, then we'll just move on to something else. But
aside from Becky doing vocals on some of the stuff, like you said, do you pretty much keep them to the original, or do you guys ever do your own things with them? Like,
we've done some variations. I think the U2 song that we do.
Yeah, we do When Love Comes to Town.
We
really took that one a different direction.
Yeah.
But I found a version online, and I don't I don't remember who sang it, but it was a girl singing it, and I kind of took it and tweaked it, and so that one's quite a bit different.
Yeah.
What I have found, I don't think it's we've made an effort to do so, but I wind up going back and listening to the original versions of these songs, and I'm like, man, we don't really sound much like that. It's kind of like we just kind of accidentally did our own thing.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anything intentional. That happens a lot, but there's been a few that we've kind of taken and put a twist to, but no, for the most part, we try to stay fairly accurate, but I think they... I just don't think I wind up going back and listening to them when Mark joined us for bass, and again, Mark Eveland is our bass player, and he came from our old band, and I gave him a bunch of songs and said, yeah, here's what we're playing, and worked on the bass lines with him, but as I listened to him, I just hadn't listened to him in years, you know, I just listened to what our version was, and I was like, wow, we don't we don't really sound like that. and then I found, like, we cut beginnings off and made endings longer and cut this and that. I mean, I'll be the first one to take a song and cut out a couple bars because I don't think it fits in the song.
Yeah.
Which, no offense to the artist that wrote it. I mean, we're playing your song, so we like it. But, you know, we've made some changes and it's been... I know it's been a challenge for Mark because he'd be like, you guys don't do it that way. And I was like, didn't mean that to happen.
Yeah. Again, and then the cowbell solos, you know, you just got to throw in every...
That,
just to be safe, just to be safe. I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Just wanted to hear it again, that's why. And you kind of mentioned, I think before we started recording, that you guys don't go out and play a ton of shows just because it does keep it... Which I think is a good idea, because if you're playing tons of shows, especially as a cover band, I think it does take away a little bit of the... Not, I don't know if mystique's the right word of it, but playing in a little longer frame of time, I think really helps... People look forward to when you guys play to, you know, look forward to hearing you guys play.
I think we're like a seasonal band is kind of how I like to look at it.
Yeah, we don't like really
we're like
play
Oktoberfest.
This is our on season. Yeah,
we don't play a lot in the summertime. We're we're not out looking for places to play endlessly. And you know, some people would be like, St. Paul Dog Prairie. A, they're the greatest people in the world. B, it's centrally located for where we're coming from. We've got people coming from Troy, from Wentzville, from O'Fallon, from St. Charles. So it's kind of equal distance for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of out of the way. We played some other places here and there, and there's always talk of, well, let's go look for more places to play, but like you mentioned and we talked about before, it's, you know, we'll bring 50 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we play every 2 weeks, we're going to bring 10 people or 15 people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it is. And so I'd rather play the fewer shows and bring the larger. Well, you call 50 people a large crowd or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
If you're playing cover band, you know, you're playing in a bar as a cover band, and you bring 50 people, they love you. You
absolutely,
know, I mean,
yeah.
That's you're bringing patrons in, and that's how they make their money. So
yeah.
I think that, you know, that works well for us.
Yeah. Well, I've been following around a lot of rock bands and stuff, but my buddies from school, and then, like, they got into those, like, battle of the bands and stuff, and then they were playing, like, every other weekend or something in a different round, and it was, like, every time they're like, okay, guys, we need you again. We're, you know, now we're on to the finals, and it's like, but it's the same thing. Like, you're like, well, we just saw you last week, and it's like,
It's a Tuesday night,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, we remember the Tuesday night at the High Point, you know, or Tuesday night at the Creepy Crawl, and you're trying to get people to come downtown, and they're like,
right.
We just saw you Saturday. You say, we know
so,
that routine.
Yeah, so it helps to kind of space it out a bit to where you don't kind of burn your fans up. And,
sure.
Well, just to burn us out. Like,
yeah,
I think we just enjoy
too.
It more when we're not constantly playing.
Yeah,
we all have,
we have
wives
families,
and kids and
yeah.
families and stuff like that, so.
And we do like each other.
Yeah, we do.
Always,
for the most part, that is one thing.
We all go way back.
We all go way back, and we're all friends, you know. And that's. I look back over the years, and I never, when I was trying to put bands together, I never looked for musicians. I looked for friends, and it might have been like, I mean, Mark. I told Mark, go buy a bass, we're starting a band, you know, like, I mean, that's what it was, like, I mean, this, you're going back 15 years or whatever, but it was like, it never occurred to me to go find a bass player. I was just, I'm going to take my buddy and be like, I'm going to teach you how to play bass so you can be in the band with me.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how I got in, because Chris was giving me guitar lessons, so I came over, I don't know, we were talking, and I'm like, oh, I used to sing. He's like, really? Well, learn a couple songs, and come over and sing for the guys. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I did that, and that was kind of the end of that. He's like, well, you're in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah,
okay.
And Chris and I are brothers, and I own a drum set, so I mean, that's how that works, too.
You know?
Guilty by association.
Right.
Yeah. One thing, too, there's always just that joy, because, like, it's kind of the same way in high school. I was trying to play guitar, but I didn't really know much, and my buddy was like, you should sell that and play bass. And I'm like, I don't know how to play anything anyway. And he would be like, just, I'll tell you what to do. And that's essentially what I did, and, you know, started playing in their band. And there's just something fun about being in a band, too, if you can get those group of people that aren't, like, think they're bigger than the band, you know?
We don't have that problem.
Right. If you can just enjoy it and, you know, just have a good time hanging out and play shows and or just play music and enjoy it,
it makes
it all worth it compared to, well, we got to play these shows, we have to do this and that, we have to do this, and it just, like, takes the fun out of it. Because,
right. Yeah.
You know, just like anything else.
The minute it starts feeling too much like work, you know, the whole idea behind this is for, you know, come full circle for all of us to get together and do something that we still enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And that means not playing the same songs that we're burnt out on just because someone's gonna want to hear that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing to your crowd.
Yeah.
But we try to walk that line between keeping it fun for us, doing stuff that we enjoy to do.
Yeah.
And hopefully that conveys to the audience. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully they feel that we're up there having a good time.
Yeah. Honestly, if I had a bird, I would totally teach you to do like that.
My bird is having a
so
good time.
So I have no worries. That's totally all good. All good.
Aaron, she hears you.
Yeah. Aaron, are you out there? Please talk
to me. I feel pretty.
It's a boy. See, that's why we call
pretty.
The pink blanket what we do.
Yeah. You need to teach it respect. That's really what you do.
Nice.
Well, guys, I appreciate you hanging out. Like, it was a blast talking to you.
Thanks.
We all just picking your brain, and I always just love people who are enthusiastic about music. I love just hearing your thoughts on it and things like that, so do appreciate that, and hang out with us. Again, the show is February 28th, Dog Prairie in St. Paul, Missouri. Any other things you got to add to that in terms of what to look forward to, or just come out and have a good time?
You said there's something, maybe an original disc or something coming soon?
There's various band members that are working on an original disc. We call the project Run of the Million. The album will be called Uncle Functional. It is, I will say, nearing completion. It's 80% done. Myself and the other guitar player, not to slight Josh, but the other guitar player in the band, Ryan Thornburg, him and I, it's been about a year and a half ago, we went and bought Pro Tools and taught ourselves to use it, which was terribly entertaining. we probably understand 5% of it, but we had both done different... that bird's killing me. We had both done different original projects in the past, and studio time's expensive.
Yeah.
And with technology the way it is, it kind of puts it in your hands. So
exactly,
we will be putting out an album at the end of the year. It would be great to maybe get with you guys again.
I'll say that's the perfect time to have you guys back on.
That would be great.
And the bird.
The bird.
And the bird.
Too. Absolutely welcome.
Don't forget about her.
We'll have the bird. I will, if you said you can post some songs, if I can give you a couple songs if you want to post them.
Yeah.
They're what I would call demo quality. they're not.
We have a bird solo.
We have a bird solo in it.
He's back there singing the first verse of the song. So.
Yeah, we've been playing it for hours. But, if you guys want to, I'll give you a couple songs to throw up there. They need to be mastered and have some real drum tracks. What we do is we record with a metronome, and in the end we'll pull it out. And when everything is done, and Aaron will do all the drum tracks, which he's very efficient at. So, I know all the other recording processes we've done in the past. It's been do scratch recordings of everything with the intention of keeping the drums, and then add everything back on top of the drums. And we're doing it completely backwards.
We go backwards.
Yeah. So, I think you guys will like it. So, I'll make sure you guys leave with a copy of that.
Very cool.
Good deal.
All right.
Well, again,
come out February 28th.
Yeah, come out to the dog parade. We'll see you there.
Throw stuff at us.
Yeah.
Or not.
Don't request any country songs.
No country.
All right, well, I guess that's it.
Episode 49.
All right, thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
All right,
thank you very much.
Rock paper podcast, y'all.